Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a lot to get to on this Monday. Rick Neuheisel coming up in about 15 minutes. The Pac-12 Network former analyst, now at CBS Sports, with spring football getting started. And he also does a terrific radio show, Full Ride, over on Sirius XM. I want to get a deep dive with spring football starting this past weekend with U of A football and ASU getting started next week, where the two programs are, and in my opinion, Rick, one of the best in the business. So we'll talk some college football and the direction of Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez from the view of Rick Neuheisel. That'll be in about 15 minutes. There's a lot going on today. The All-Star game last night was just, it was just a train wreck. So you're sitting there trying to watch, they're trying to appeal to millennials. I get it. They're trying to appeal to a younger audience. And I'm sitting there with my 12-year-old. Now, that's very young for the NBA, but they still want those kids to be involved. And he watched for, like, I don't know, 2 minutes. And he's just starting to figure it out. And he says to me from across the couch, he's like, they're not playing any defense. All they're doing is dunks and layups, Dad. That's not what I'm being taught. And the night before, we watched the slam dunk competition. He thought that was pretty cool. The rest of the three-point shooting contest he thought was fine. But I kind of observed things through the lens of not just us, because we're already there. We're already consuming, right? We're already seeing this stuff. And so they want to get the bigger audience and more people involved. And I'm also starting to push the edge of who they want. They don't want a guy who's north of 50. So, they want 1834, 1849, 1854, thereabouts. If they can get 12 to 24s for advertisers, it's all dollars and cents. It has nothing to do with basketball itself. But the business side is what matters, because they're going to make their decisions based off of that. So I'm watching last night, and by, I don't know, the first media timeout, I was done. I was just done. I went back later a couple of times. Had other things to do. I don't need to sit there and watch guys just kind of meander around. The Durant-Westbrook thing felt like, as I said last week on this show, that's what the NBA has become. They're selling soap opera. And at some point, selling soap opera is not going to work. It just isn't. It may work for some. Some of you dudes may want to say, well, KD and Westbrook don't get along, so I'm going to watch and just count how many times they're on the floor together. Some dude put up that they're on the floor for 58 seconds total. I mean, if that's what you're going to do with your Sunday night, knock yourself out. Now, the DeMarcus Cousins side of the street, we're going to get into that as the show moves along, too. That trade... So the Suns were there. The Suns were in it, if I'm to believe the insiders whose opinions I really do respect and trust, rather than somebody just going for clicks or somebody who's just throwing stuff out there. Any deal that includes Brandon Knight's not going to get a deal done. Sorry, that's been a complete miss. Much like watching Isaiah Thomas, who was here, who's been a complete hit in Boston. It just goes back to these guys can't get it figured out. So now that he's in New Orleans, and we'll talk further about this. I feel great for Alvin Gentry. Alvin Gentry should have never, ever been tossed to the street, but things came to an end here, and he was thrown to the curb and shown the door. That's one thing. I feel good for him. Two, he was with Steve Kerr on the bench. So Alvin Gentry knows full well what it's going to take to beat Golden State in the playoffs. Not saying that New Orleans is there, but he knows full well that if you put two bigs and you pound away inside, that really all they have inside is Draymond Green. And after that, it's just a bunch of guys. So if you're constructing a team that's going to take apart the champs, all of a sudden, did New Orleans get a lot better last night? I don't know that. Those of you that watch this show know I've not been the biggest DeMarcus Cousins fan, because one day it's on, one day it's off. The fact that there's a business side to this, there are 30 million reasons as to why he wanted to stay in Sacramento. $30 million this is going to cost him. by not staying in Sacramento. He will get $30 million less on the open market under the new rules. It's why in the last couple of weeks he was being all nice about, I love it here in Sacramento. Of course you do. There's 30 million reasons to love Sacramento. Lead the league in technical fouls, take your team out of games late. But yeah, Boogie, as everybody likes to throw nicknames around, DeMarcus, because I don't, DeMarcus would have been a good fit here in Phoenix, maybe, possibly, we don't know. The Suns needed an immovable force on the inside who's young, he's 26, but they didn't want to give up the store, whatever the store entailed. So, and you know, in Sacramento's case, they may have been looking at the Suns and saying, you know, that this package of players, because Tyreke Evans going up there, you know, Matt Barnes is going to end up being released up in Sacramento now. There's all sorts of, there's trickle-down effects on this whole deal. There's going to be a whole bunch of trickle-down, next move, next move, next move. All I know is here in Phoenix, another team is now better than them that the Suns were chasing and right on the heels of. We all like to say how close they are and how exciting they are to watch, but DeMarcus Cousins, if he decides he wants to play, if he's not a load, then New Orleans got a lot better.
Yeah, I would say, Brad, without peeling back the onion too deep, this was a really good trade for New Orleans because yeah. Buddy Hield is a nice offensive player, has defensive limitations. Evans and this Langston Galloway may not even be on the team by the end of the year. The first round pick they're getting is protected through the top three, I believe. So they're going to get a lottery pick, but if it's one, two, or three, they're not going to get it this year. It seems like a good gamble, especially when you look at the Pelicans' front line. It's pretty ridiculous now.
Well, and
young, athletic, rising, two stars. I mean, two big time stars.
And I just go look at Alvin Gentry being there, Eric. I mean, that's the thing, is he knows the back workings of Golden State. He does. And you may say on the show, well, there's no way they're going to beat him. You have to start somewhere. And if this is the chipping away, and now if in fact Cousins does have his act together, a change of scenery, closer to home, a coach who can control him, if he likes New Orleans, if he likes playing alongside of Anthony, all those things, if all those things fall into alignment, if I'm a point guard or if I'm a shooting guard and it comes down to you've got a chance to win, you'll be in the middle part of the country almost. So you can fly to LA if you want to get home, or you can fly to New York if you want. You can get anywhere. So the ability to go attract people, right? To go attract the great player. Like, that's where the Suns are stuck right now. You know, if you felt like DeMarcus Cousins was your ability to get over the top, rather than sit here and be a nice team with nice, fun guys that might win 25 games or 30 games, and we're in this mess again, and we read over and over and over, the Suns have all these great assets and all these great assets. That's written by people who haven't lived here and had to sit through this disaster for the last 7 years.
Man, 7 years. Ooh.
7 years.
I would do anything, Brad, to peek inside Vlade Divac's cell phone and look at the different trade options that were presented to the Kings before they said, yep, this is the right move to trade with the Pelicans. Because you know, I'm sure a handful of teams were sending out feelers. Well, we could throw in this, and we'll give you this expiring contract and these two future first-round draft picks. But why did this one finally click for the Kings? Why?
Well, did they panic? I don't know.
Probably.
When the Lakers said that they're not going to trade Ingram, okay. So if the Lakers aren't going to trade Ingram, Ingram may end up being a really good player, or he may just be a nice player. We don't know this.
Probably the latter.
And we don't know if Magic is going to come in there and say, now that he's part of the deal again, and say, Jim Buss, you're gone. Mitch Kupchak, you're gone. Here's the thing about it right now that's really hard for me. The Lakers are down. I mean, way, way down. And the Suns have not been able to figure it out and take advantage of the situation with the Lakers being down. And you look across, like, I think Oklahoma City's headed for some rough seas. I really do. Russell Westbrook, what it will be the incentive for him to re-sign there. But how many teams are descending over in the Western Conference while we're sitting around out here still like, yeah, okay, great. They made a run at DeMarcus Cousins, but they didn't make that much of a run, or maybe they did and the Kings just didn't want any part of the Suns. As long as Sacramento still has an NBA franchise, I would like to think that they're going to be behind the Suns. There's no way they're going to be able to attract free agents up there. Their draft picks are tied into Philadelphia. Brian's got to be loving this. Colangelo's got to be loving this. Their first-round picks are tied into the 76ers. The 76ers are set up to do some big things. We said this a couple of years ago. The 76ers will get to the playoffs before the Suns. And I should have put money down on that. I got ripped and crushed.
And the Sixers, although they're losing, they're an exciting team. They've won six or seven games like in the last 5 seconds of a game. And TJ McConnell has been one of the guys making big shots, the undrafted, forgotten point guard from U of A.
All right, we're going to have Rick Neuheis around the corner. Peter King wrote today about a quarterback, a veteran quarterback, and how he believes that this veteran quarterback is on the Arizona Cardinals' radar. And it's a veteran quarterback that most of you will not like, who has been a starter, who has had a lot of controversy around him. And Peter believes that he's a guy that the Cardinals are going to strongly consider here in the offseason. I'll talk about that in 15 minutes. And much, much more. Paula may be with us today. We've been chasing Paula. She's been chasing us. It's our usual Monday segment with Paula Bovin. If not, we just hang out. We've got a lot going on. I didn't even get into Lamar Ball. He would double down on the Steph Curry stuff over the weekend. It's crazy. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussman with you. Hard to believe that Saturday, U of A is starting spring ball. And Rich Rod hates spring ball. When we last saw U of A, they were running over, through, around, every way, shape, and form of the Sun Devils to the tune of 511 rushing yards. If we want to forget that game, as some Sun Devils do, not me. I have no dog in the fight. But U of A starts spring ball Saturday. Rich Rod looking for a quarterback, looking for a whole bunch of things. And then you have Todd Graham, who cannot keep assistant coaches. ASU has just turned over. Both programs, from my point of view, in a state of flux. Both coaches on the warm seat as we sit here in the off season. We'll see about the hot seat. And I've been wanting to get Rick Neuheis on board, and I really appreciate him getting into us. CBS Sports College Football Today and College Football Analyst over at Sirius XM, Full Ride, terrific show on the satellite side, because I hear Rick do a terrific job over there, and the coach is with us for a few minutes. How are you?
Brad, I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, Rick, I'd be a lot better if I had a couple college football teams in February that I looked at and said, you know, I think they can compete with the mighty Trojans. They may have missed the window or did miss the window. Or Colorado or Utah. I mean, the Pac-12 South is loaded, and we're sitting out here with spring ball starting Saturday, believe it or not. And I just don't feel good about either team. So I wanted to get you on board here and see what your thoughts were.
You know, listen, this is basically the state of college football right now. It's what have you done for me lately? You don't have to think back too far to remember a time when both these coaches, Todd Graham, Rich Rodriguez, were the champions of the South in the Pac-12. You know, Rich Rod took his team to the crown and battled Oregon in the championship game, got beat. And Arizona State did the same thing battling Stanford when Todd Graham took the Sun Devils to the crown. So it just requires a little bit of good luck. Obviously, recruiting is going to be pivotal. Rich Rodriguez, if we just start with the Wildcats, it's been tough for them to put together the defense to go along with what we know is always going to be a pretty prolific offense when you're talking about Rich Rodriguez and the spread. But the Anu Solomon, you know, where we thought he was going to be just this fantastic next quarterback in line with the great ones that have played for him, going all the way to Pat White at West Virginia, it just hasn't happened because his legs just didn't come along for the ride. And I think ultimately for Arizona to be the team that we all envision them to be with that offense, as long as they can find a defense to go with it, you have to have that dual threat quarterback. B.J. Denker was, you know, nearly 1,000 yard back, and yet we haven't seen that with Arizona here of late. And because of that inconsistency at quarterback, it turned out to be the worst year in the Rich Rod era at Arizona. But I'm sure that he's putting the pieces together to make a much better run as they head into 2017.
Okay, so over on the back on U of A, so Anu leaves, he goes to Baylor. They've got Brandon Dawkins, they have Khalil Tate, who they barely used last season as a 17-year-old, just kind of threw him out there to the Wolves because he didn't really have any other options. In defense of Rich Rod, he really didn't have many other options when Anu went down with the concussions. Do they have a quarterback, from your view, in place?
Well, the Dawkins kid is interesting. Remember, this is a team that took Washington, who ended up being a Final Four team in the country, into overtime. And Dawkins in that game had over 100 yards rushing, had that 70-yard touchdown run. So to me, he's the kind of player you need. If not him, then who can be more like him? But ultimately, for them to take the step that I think everybody's waiting for patiently in Tucson, you have to have that dual-threat quarterback. And then ultimately you have to have a defense that can be counted on. That just has not been the case. When Rich Rodriguez had to fire, his good buddy as the defensive coordinator, you realize that things got a little desperate on the defensive side of the ball.
And now that Greg Byrne has gone to Alabama to be the athletic director, it's a different vibe down there. They just lost Charlie Regal, their chief recruiter for the state of Arizona, up to Cal. He left the program over the weekend. I just feel like it's a warm seat from my view. Do you feel that or not? Do you think no?
Oh, I think whenever you're replacing an athletic director who is comes in as your boss, you always have to be a little bit suspect about your longevity. That just goes with the territory. Rich Rodriguez knows that as well as anybody, but he can't focus on that. What he can focus on is putting the pieces together to make sure that they're the best possible team they can be when it gets down to September, so that they can be back in the bowl picture and back in a situation where they can contend for a South title.
Talking college football, Rick Neuheisel, CBS Sports college football analyst, Sirius XM, Full Ride, great listening on a daily basis. Switch gears to ASU, your view of where Todd Graham is in this program. Is his seat warm in this offseason, Rick?
I guess so. I mean, it's hard to imagine, given the kind of buzz that Todd Graham generated in the Valley when he arrived. I remember watching the first game that he coached while working for the Pac-12 Network, and seeing how buttoned up they were on the sideline, how organized, and juxtaposing that against the Dennis Erickson crew that, while very talented and won their share of games, they were anything but you'd call organized. I think they're the most penalized team certainly in the conference, maybe even in the country. And it just looked like this guy really had everything going, and he had a group of assistants that understood it. And I think, as he's tried to replace Mike Norvell, who left to be the head coach at Memphis, and everybody understands why a guy leaves to be a head coach, it's been harder than he could have imagined to get that done. Now he's lost another coordinator. And so getting those pieces right and obviously going through a year where they had the kind of injuries at the quarterback position, both Wilkins and White both going down, those things are hard to control. But when you're also losing coaches and the voices in these players' ears, it becomes very problematic. And so we'll just have to wait and see and trust that he's made good decisions in terms of his hirings, and see if the Devils can't get back where they belong, which is at the top of the heap in the South.
Fans are excited about Blake Barnett, the Alabama quarterback, transferred over to Palomar Community College, comes here. What is your view of Blake Barnett? Have you seen enough of him, Rick, to make an idea?
I watched Alabama practice 2 years ago when I made the move to CBS. I went and took in all the SEC schools and watched a little bit of practice on each of them, so I familiarized myself with the SEC, having spent the majority of my life in the Pac-12. And I saw Blake Barnett practicing there, and he was just a freshman. They really loved his athleticism. He's a youngster out of Corona, California. His arm strength, I thought, was suspect when I watched practice, but that was, in training camp of his freshman year, that is to be sometimes expected. But as compared to the other guys on the practice field, this is before Jalen Hurts arrived, I was concerned about arm strength. Now that he's had a year in that program and their strength and conditioning program is second to none, it's one of the reasons they stay atop college football. They want for no resource. They get everything that they want there. It'll be interesting to see how much he's developed and where that arm strength is, but he certainly fits the mold of dual threat quarterback and athletic quarterback that Todd Graham covets. I think that will fit in nicely with whatever they're doing. I know Manny Wilkins is in that role. I thought Brady White, I watched Brady play in high school over in Hart High School in Valencia. I thought he was really a talented passing quarterback. I didn't know about the running piece, but in the brief time I got a chance to watch him play last year, I thought he's a talented guy too. So I think it should be a spirited competition in the spring, and I think that position, in my mind, is going to be well-stocked, given the, albeit brief, experience all of them have. They have some experience, and it ought to be a very competitive springtime for all three.
And they also have Dylan Sterling Cole, came in from Texas. They landed the number one quarterback prospect in the state this year. He's not on campus yet. And Ryan Kelly, who had committed to Oregon, he decided to stay here and play for Todd. And almost lost him at the last minute, but he decided to stay. I mean, they've got five QBs here, so I have to imagine we're going to see one or two of them as when spring ends, head out the door. But it's a nice problem to have.
It's a great problem to have because, as we know, you struggle to get to the promised land if you don't have somebody that you can count on at that position. So, I think Todd understands that piece of it. I think he feels very strongly that he's got the pieces there, if not the piece, and we'll just see who emerges.
Last question, Rick, I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time, and that is, where do you see U of A and ASU moving forward in this Pac-12 South? I mentioned the window for USC. There was an opportunity there when there were sanctions, coaching turnover. It seems like the Trojans have got it figured out. Kyle Whittingham, all he does is win games every year up in Utah. And we saw what Mike McIntyre did at Colorado. There's the Bruins, of course. The Pac-12 South, where do you see these two programs?
Well, I think they're positioned nicely. They've both proven they can win because they've both done it in the short time that they've been there. Ultimately, though, the USC, and I think you hit it, there was a window there where they were vulnerable. It looks as if that window's closing. As I looked at their recruiting class, the number of defensive linemen that came in that were, thought of as 4- and 5-star guys is alarming, because what the top teams in college football are able to do is play great physical football in the trenches. More notably on the defensive side, because offensive schemes have made it less important to have, just giants on your offensive line.
Sure.
Spread offenses don't require that you be as physical. But defensively, you have to be stout up front. And if SC turns these recruits to great players on the defensive line, they're going to be tough to beat, especially with, I think, the top quarterback in the country in Sam Darnold.
Let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight as always, Rick. Great catching up with you. Thanks.
Brad, always good to be with you. Enjoy your spring as it gets closer.
Yeah, right. 74 on the golf course this afternoon. Thanks.
Attaboy.
See ya. There's Rick Neuheisel. Appreciate his time. Good to catch up with the coach over there at CBS Sports College Football today in SiriusXM Full Ride. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat with you. Of course, our football show, Brad Sussmat Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona, airs Tuesdays, Wednesdays in the evening and mornings, and in Thursday morning as well. So there's 14 airings during the week. We appreciate our partnership with Fox Sports Arizona, also our partnership with AZ Central Sports. If you're watching us over on that side, thanks for checking us out. We're here Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. doing our thing. Peter King wrote in the Monday Morning Quarterback today, and of course, Peter is with us weekly during the NFL season and at select times. I think we should probably do Peter in the next week or two, just the combine is coming up, although there's not much around the combine that's of interest this year in terms of Arizona State players. But Peter wrote today that Jay Cutler and the Arizona Cardinals could be an option. Peter wrote, 13th pick in the first round. Arizona. Name the counterculture coach who likes to take shots on guys hated by lots of down-the-middle coaches and GMs, who is the biggest proponent of the deep ball of any coach in football, and who may need said deep ball thrower because his quarterback turns 38 this year. I think I just made a Bruce Arians Jay Cutler marriage, and Arizona can wait until the Bears cut him and sign Cutler for 2 years and incentives. This doesn't mean Arizona won't aggressively scout college kids, though. Now, Peter has written quite a bit on Bruce Arians, is very fond of Bruce Arians. We have Peter on the show. It's no secret that he feels very good about what's going on out here, and I think it's safe to say that he has got very good pipelines within the Cardinals organization. Am I right on all that? I'm not putting words in Peter's mouth.
If this happened, though, Brad, this would be like a fart in church. I mean, it would not. It would It would just not go over well. But
farts in church make people laugh. What are you talking about?
Well, this move might make some people laugh or cry. However,
yes,
if they can get him,
yes,
at the bargain basement rate of, wait for it, absolutely nothing. Why wouldn't you sign him? Why? 6'3", 231 pounds, can throw a good deep ball. Check, check, check.
Yeah, and he can throw some really, really bad short balls.
He can, he can.
He can throw into coverage, and he is...
He's not the best decision maker, but in fairness to Jay Cutler, he played on some pretty bad teams.
Yeah, I mean, who are the receivers that the Bears have had to throw to him?
There's Alshon Jeffrey and...
Stand upright. So, now, if you're a Bears fan, you would love this. You would rip the Cardinals all day long. And the Cardinals, you know, how would they position this? How would they sell this? Because they are very PR conscious over there. So, to me, if Bruce Arians believes in it, that's it. That's all you have to tell me. If Steve Keim believes in it, that's all you have to tell me. Have they missed? Sure, but all teams miss. All teams miss. I don't need a sell job. I just need Bruce Arians to say I think that he'd be a perfect fit here. If you bring Jay Cutler here, though, I mean, on the surface, I hate this. On the surface, when you just see Jay Cutler and Cardinals, nobody in their right mind can say, wow, this would be great. What a brilliant idea. Nobody would be able to say that. No one. But when you have a coach who does have the, I hate to use the term riverboat gambler because it's written about and used often. If you don't feel as though the young quarterbacks that are out there this year or even next year, because that's what it takes. Or if you don't want to be a guy that's going to develop a quarterback because you're not going to be around. You have to look at that too, that if Bruce Arians knows he's going to do two more years, he had two health episodes this last season. Nothing's a given. So if he's saying, you know what, Carson's got a year in him. Carson last year had ups and downs. Maybe I need to have a little bit more heat on the backside of Carson Palmer. Coaches do play that game. They do. Maybe I need to have more of a game player than I've got, a game breaker than in Drew Stanton, who's a nice guy that people cheer for, but maybe they've seen enough of him saying he just can't do it.
If I'm Jay Cutler, would I want to come to Arizona knowing that I could be seen on the bench for a year before I get my opportunity?
And you won't have Larry Fitzgerald?
Nope.
To throw the ball to?
Nope.
What would you be told to convince you to come here? What could
That's
you
a good
do
question.
To convince... See, if you're
because he's not going to get paid a ton of money by the Cardinals.
So if you're Jay Cutler and you're on the open market, you have all these destinations you can go to, 32 of them. So the most attractive jobs to win immediately would be Houston, where Brock Osweiler is a train wreck, and they've got a window right now. They've got to get their quarterback situation figured out. Jay Cutler going there versus Tony Romo going there, you tell me.
Right.
Jay Cutler in New York, New York media, not a great team. Don't see it.
Nope. Cleveland, don't see it.
You just get hammered in Cleveland.
Yep.
You turn into mincemeat. Kansas City, have they gone as far as they can go in Kansas City at the quarterback position?
Yeah, but I think Alex Smith is still a big upgrade over Jay Cutler.
But again, have they gone as far as they can go with Alex Smith? Does Andy Reid have the same mentality as Bruce Arians? I can get more out of this guy, right? If you're in Los Angeles, OK, Okay, Phillip Rivers is old. Do you have to have, and he's still very productive, but he's old.
But Cutler's old. Cutler's been in the league 11 years.
But Cutler is not 38 like Carson Palmer.
No, but he's got tread on the tires.
He's just, sure he does. Sure he does. Again, most of you, if not all of you, would hate this as an option. But I'm trying to look at it from the Cardinals lens because Peter just didn't sit around and say, you know, let me take this pen and throw it in the ceiling.
Yeah,
I'm going to write something.
0% chance that happened.
0% that happened. No chance that happened.
That's, a bird of some sort got in his ear. A red bird.
Yeah.
Who wears a tie and slacks to work every day.
Sure.
Whoever that may be.
Whoever that may be. All right. So you can laugh and rip this all you want. But why would the Cardinals do this move? Why would the Cardinals make this move? Rather than just sit here behind a microphone and say, this move's terrible, this move stinks. Well, why would this be the way? And this was also mentioned earlier in his column.
It could be they're not in love with any of the quarterbacks that are in this draft. It could be where they are slotted. Maybe that's not an option in the first round. Maybe they don't like any of those second, third, mid-round guys. And this
they don't
is
like
somebody,
your guy Mahomes?
I love Mahomes. I would think Bruce Arians would love Patrick Mahomes because he's a Bruce Arians type. But I don't know.
Okay, so
he's a system quarterback, okay, so and nobody likes those system quarterbacks.
Let's look at this from Carson Palmer's side. Okay, Peter did a big piece on Carson. He has great access over there. If Carson Palmer, let's just say this were to happen, now that this is out there, by somebody very, very reputable and credible. This isn't just some dude in a basement. This is Peter Effing King that put this out there. So, and if you want to see the quotes and all that in the column, it's up on our site. We attach the links and all that. It's at sports360az.com. If you're Carson Palmer and they bring in Jay Cutler, what message is that being sent to Carson Palmer? I think he's had a pretty safe run. This is no offense to Drew Stanton, but Drew Stanton is not going to put the heat on Carson Palmer. Jay Cutler coming out here, he would have to feel reborn being out here by having somebody like Larry Fitzgerald. How would Larry Fitzgerald feel about a guy like Jay Cutler coming out here? We already have Carson Palmer. But let's just say, for argument's sake, Carson went down. Maybe they played Carson at the end of the 2015 season and he was hurt. Not maybe, he was. Nobody wanted to admit it, but he was. Maybe there were times last year where they felt like, you know what? We got to get better play out of our quarterback spot, but Carson gives us the best chance to win a game. Drew would just give us a chance. And Jay Cutler is an upgrade. So, I mean, you put all this together, the part where he writes, this doesn't mean Arizona won't aggressively scout college kids, though. So it's, you know, we're looking at Jay Cutler. I'm envisioning this is what he was being told. We're going to look at Cutler. We think Cutler could be somebody that could be a turnaround guy. We're going to go out and we're going to scout all these college kids. We're going to go to the combine. We're going to check everybody out. Where he writes, I think I just made a Bruce Arians-Jay Cutler marriage, and Arizona can wait until the Bears cut him and sign Cutler for 2 years in incentives. So even the financial deals were put in this column today. So you bring him here for 2 years in incentives, which the NFL contracts, you just cut the guy, and you take your hit. Again, on the surface, blah. No way this happens. Peel the onion back. Take a step back, put your fandom down, don't wear your red glasses, take a big long look at it and say, who are the other options of quarterback? Well, I want to have Tony Romo. Why would Tony Romo come here if he can go to Houston? Tony Romo's having another child. Houston is close to Dallas. Is Houston further along than the Cardinals? The answer is yes. But Houston has to get through New England. If you look at the quarterback openings that are out there, Arizona's attractive, but attractive to a point. I think the jobs like Kansas City and Houston, you look at and say, well, there's a lot that could happen there.
It's one of those low-risk, high-reward potential situations. Of course, it could completely blow up, but if you're just paying a guy in incentives, then what's the big deal? So,
I think it's funny when people stop when you're like talking because they're afraid to get in your shot. Just tell them to get in the shot. It's fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine if they walk. We like people walking.
We like people walking
in the
shot.
It's okay. You can go get water.
Yeah, Ryan, get water. Come on, bring coffee.
There he goes again.
You know, he's
embarrassed. Hey, yeah, people are working here.
He's embarrassed. We work occasionally. Lamar Ball back in the news. He doubled down on Lonzo being better than Steph. And UCLA is coming here to the Valley this week. A lot around that on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman. This is a big week in our state, and I know you're thinking, well, what's going on? The Suns are off. Well, that's big. But it's the trade deadline around the NBA, and the Suns are back on the court at Chicago on Friday. Do they react to what happened with DeMarcus Cousins being traded from Sacramento to New Orleans? I think they not to react to that, but they've got to move some parts on this team. You know, the idea that Bledsoe is a part of the future, I think, is a mistake. P.J. Tucker's contract is attractive. Eric Bledsoe can bring you back a haul, but they wanted to include Brandon Knight to go get DeMarcus Cousins. That wasn't going to happen. I'm actually kind of happy they didn't get DeMarcus Cousins. I think it was short term, sounds all well and good. I think in New Orleans, though, that makes a lot of sense with Alvin Gentry, put him on alongside Alvin as a coach. This is a smart move, as I said earlier. So there's the Suns and the trade deadline. The Coyotes trade deadline is coming up. On the college basketball front, so Thursday, UCLA is here. UCLA is in the Valley, and I have to tell you that, you know, even though ASU did not look good at all Saturday, they just don't match up well with size. And Washington State swept them, even though Wazoo's not good. That said, it's UCLA here. This game should be sold out. You're going to have a chance to see. I don't know how many NBA scouts are going to be there Thursday night. And it's not a 9 p.m. start time, thank goodness. All the rotten start time. It's not Sunday at noon like they gave ASU against Washington State. It's 7 o'clock Thursday night at home against the fifth-ranked team in the country. Fifth-ranked team in the country has a player that I would like to see in a Phoenix Suns uniform next season. Tankapalooza, Tank Lonzo, whatever you want to call Lonzo Tank, I don't know. But Lonzo Ball needs to be in a Suns uniform next season. He's terrific. He's fun to watch. Dave Pasch and Bill Walton are doing the game. So it's a big deal. It's on ESPN2. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go. It's your chance to see, in my opinion, one of the better players to come along in college basketball in a long, long time at the guard position. He has a feel of the game, unlike guys that we've seen for years and years, outside of guys like Magic, Jason Kidd, people like that, that would make plays. Doesn't have to score a lot of points. He just does everything so well. The only thing about Lonzo Ball that you look at and say, wow, this guy has, I don't want to say it's an issue. It's kind of funny to have a dad that is so over the top of Lonzo Ball as LeVar Ball. So LeVar Ball last week dropped the "My son's better than Steph Curry." And everybody's like, what is this guy? Who is this guy? Why is he doing this? Well, over the weekend, there's the dad again. And this time he doubles down even more on Lonzo being better than Steph.
You said something the other day that some thought was controversial. What made you say that one day Lonzo is going to be better than Steph Curry at Golden State?
Hey, let me tell you this right now. I have the utmost confidence in what my boy is doing. I'm going to tell you right now, he better than Steph Curry to me. Here, put Steph Curry on UCLA's team right now and put my boy on Golden State and watch what happens.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you double down on it right there.
I double down on it again. And like I said, if I don't know what my boy's about, I'm not going to make that statement. Steph's going to have problems trying to guard my boy. And let's see, play one-on-one.
And I can't wait to see that. Finally, it's All-Star Weekend. Can you ever imagine one day to see all three of your boys in the NBA All-Star Game?
I think all three of my boys will be in the All-Star Game one day. On the fact that they didn't all of a sudden get good. They've been from babies being better and better and better. And when they get to that top level, they're just going to turn it up even more.
And we can't wait to see that. We're surely enjoying watching Lonzo right now. Congrats on everything.
Hey, thank you very much.
Continue success.
Appreciate it. Yes, most definitely.
All right. All right. Lewis Johnson there doing the interview. That's like gold, right? The dad shows up. If you're in a production meeting in our industry, you're the sideline reporter. We need to get LeVar Ball on the show. Now, I would like to think that having Dave Pasch and Bill Walton together with LeVar sitting between the two of them.
Ooh.
Just between the two of them.
That could last a whole half, that conversation.
But don't you think that if that were to happen, because Dave's a journalist, do you think that you should dial this back a little bit? You know?
Yeah, well, I will give the dad credit. I mean, he's not waffling from what he said. And he's like they said, he's not just he's doubling down. He's pushing all the chips into the center of the table with not just one of his kids. All three of his kids are going to be all-stars. What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I thought when that started out, it was with all due respect, Steph Curry is a great player. Steph Curry is this. No, it was none of that. It was just hot mic, red light on the camera. Dad, ready, set, go. Do your thing.
Game ends and word gets back to the locker room. Hey, Alonzo, your dad said it again. Is it okay or is it, oh, no, why?
Well.
Or a combination of both.
You know, when they have these prodigies and then you do the story on them and you find out later that everything wasn't great behind the scenes, like dad just kind of, like Todd Marinovich is one that I covered out in San Diego growing up out there in Southern California. And you go to Capo Valley and you see and all the limelight around Todd, and then you start hearing about the Burger King stuff. I mean, the McDonald's stuff. And you start peeling the onion back.
And mentally, he's still not right.
No, he's not good. He's not good at all. No. But who's going to tell a dad, especially a dad like that, you know, who's going to tell a dad, you need to tone it down? Steve Alford's not. He knows it's a one and done. He has two more of them coming along. And if he's the one that goes and tells LeVar, hey, dial it back, you may not get the other two. That's the thing about it, is the dad knows he has the chips. And it was like, you know, it was like Bagley. When Bagley was over at Corona and dad was patrolling the sidelines with his video camera and doing all that stuff. And people were like, is somebody going to say anything? Well, nobody's going to, because they're afraid he's going to leave, and he left anyways. It was just crazy. Talented players, but you got to go through all this stuff. The Coyotes play tonight against Anaheim. Actually looking forward to them on Thursday night. They play at Chicago. It's Fan Fest for the Diamondbacks today. It was rained out over the weekend. If you want to head out to that, it's from noon to 4. And the Diamondbacks open up their exhibition season against Grand Canyon University on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, spring training is now. It's usually the first week of March, and now it's now. It's now.
It's because they have the World Baseball
Classic.
Correct. So they're getting this out of the way.
Yep.
All right.
I like how you said that, getting this out of the way.
Getting
these practice baseball games.
Yeah. We want to get to the regular season.
Guys running around the warning track, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Let me go back on ASU as I'm wrapping things up today. So Thursday night they have UCLA. They have USC and U of A all at home. The U of A game's a 2 in the afternoon start. So there's no reason to not get out there and see. You have two of the top 5 teams in the nation. Yeah, I'm selling some tickets for them because I think it's a good time to check them out. Jed Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of everything. Our show repeats, if you missed any part of it, over and over on this very same channel for the next 24 hours. Thanks for being with us.